Hello, welcome to the Livestreams Carawarra podcast. We're delighted to have you join us. We invite you to sit back, relax, and listen to our latest episode. Thanks for joining.
Father, we thank you. We thank you for just the wonderful testimonies, the wonderful sense of your presence tonight. Lord, lead us as we just share your word together now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Always good to be with you. Always good to welcome you and to share the word and to welcome our listeners online as well. We are in the middle of a series which is titled, Mark, A Season of Humility, Repentance and Prayer. It's been a pretty special season for us. And tonight, my key verse comes from Hebrews 12, verse 14. And it says this, make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. It's really the last half of that verse I want to focus on. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. You know, I often look at that verse and I think it's a negative, but it's actually a positive as well. Because if you flip that, with holiness, it says we will see the Lord. And I love that because the ultimate meaning of that verse is that when Jesus comes back, we'll see the face of our Lord. And he will redeem those who are in Christ forever and ever and ever. What a glorious day that's going to be. It's going to be wonderful. And I'm saying in this tonight that Christ has done this already. He's made us holy by his sacrifice on the cross. He's risen from the dead. And we've been made holy forever and will receive his promise. However, regrettably, those who choose not will not see the Lord, and that saddens me. But that is the reality. But that's the ultimate meaning of the verse. But actually, the application has application for right now for us. And I want to tell two related stories that I hope will practically unpack this a little more. One story is a good story, one not so good. The first one is I remember when I come to know Jesus, I think it was about 1995, and there was a man in his 70s, maybe even 80, who took us into his home, a bunch of young adults. I was about 22 at the time. And he took us into our home, and I really noticed there was something really different about this guy. He would put on a nice spread. He would talk about the word. He wouldn't really teach us. He would just ask good questions about the word. And I couldn't work out what was this guy about. In terms of a good way. There's something really beautiful about his persona, very gentle person. And close to 30 years ago, that experience was for me. It was in 1996, I think it was. And I can still sense very strongly being in this guy's presence. Because this guy loved the Lord. He really set apart his life to the Lord. And I can honestly say that what we saw and experienced in him was the living and holy Jesus, the holy Lord, and the tangible presence as we met with him. It was very special. And as I talk about that, there's still some feelings that come up about that in a positive way. And it was like we're in the presence of Jesus, because this guy just loved Jesus. He would speak about him, and he always exemplified the power and grace of God. Very godly example. Let me flip that for a moment, tell you about another person that saddens my heart. Peter deeply espoused a wonderful relationship with God, as he said. He went to church on Sundays. He occasionally came to our Bible study groups. But on the weekends, he'd often go out. He was often known to drink in excess, often known to have one-night stands. And perhaps what was most perplexing was he would actually confess these things to us, which was fine. But he would say, well, you know, God will just simply forgive me for those things. And then next weekend he was out doing the same thing again. And so his lifestyle didn't kind of match the inner convictions that he had. He even tried to witness to his colleagues and said he was a follower of Jesus, only to be met with the statement, you're joking, right? From his colleagues. In his case, Peter was not living the life of holiness that he was called to. It was out of sync and fellowship with the Lord. Two extreme examples. Here we have one who brazenly lived out of sync with the Spirit of God, the other who loved Jesus so much. The one who loved Jesus so much and lived that way, you could really see Jesus in him. You could see the holiness of the Lord and naturally overflow with the power and presence of God. The other, I've got to say, not so much. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. This is the verse we're trying to unpack. And if there's anything I kind of want to get across tonight is holiness absolutely matters. Now and forever. Not just forever, but right now for us. To God, to us, and the world in which we live. And so I want to offer four safeguards tonight that hopefully will encourage us to continue to live a holy life, or maybe even step it up in some places. The author of the Hebrews goes on in the preceding verses to cite four areas in this particular character. Number one, be at peace with all people. Be at peace with all people. Verse 14, make every effort to live in peace with everyone. You agree with that? Yeah, it's a good verse. It's a great verse. I think sometimes we think, oh, that's if I have an argument with someone, I should live with peace with that person. Well, it probably does point to something of those things, but I think it's more than that. Prior to these verses, actually speaks about being disciplined by our Father in heaven. And any discipline by our Father in heaven is actually something that he lovingly does. Even though it might be somewhat painful, it's something that he lovingly does. And sometimes in life we go through some tough times, and some of these are just simply circumstances that come our way. Can't control those things. At other times, it's actually the Father's discipline. And it's up to every individual believer to discern that in terms of what it is. We each have to discern it. To live at peace means to be together. And it means to be together, in this instance, with God's people. Now, in tough times, my observation is that either people move away from God's people and move away from God, or they actually can tend to draw closer to God. And it's the latter I would absolutely encourage. And occasionally we'll reach out to people in our collective churches and we'll say, look, we haven't seen you for a while. We're just wondering where you've been and what's happening. And we just want to pray for you. And often we'll share that. And sometimes I hear the response, I've had a bad week, I'm such a bad sinner. And I don't feel like I deserve to come to be with God's people. And so I just usually ask the question, well, how's your relationship with God? Have you done business with the Lord in this matter? And they often say, no, not yet. But I'm thinking of doing that, which is great. And this phrase, I'm too much of a sinner to come to church. I don't have peace in my heart, I don't have peace with people, and so on. And my response has always been the same. That's exactly the time you actually need to come to church or to be with God's people, is when we have a bad week or we're struggling or we're challenged or even one where we need to restore relationship with God and others. Live at peace with everyone actually means in this context to at least be together with God's people during tough times, and of course that extends beyond the church as well. So that's the first one, be at peace with all people. The second one, a bitter root destroys life. That's what I've titled this next one, a bitter root destroys life. Verse 15, see to it that no one falls short of the grace of God and no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. Jewish believers were falling away from grace, simply reverting back to their old patterns and standards of living. It's very tempting to go back to the old way of life. Sometimes we don't even know we might do that. But let us not fall away from grace in this matter. The author's hinting that people who fall away can sometimes actually fall away so much that they begin to become bitter in their outlook of life, maybe even towards themselves, maybe even towards God's people, maybe even the church in some cases has hurt them and they become bitter. And we say if bitterness is left unchecked, it can cause one to become bitter that ends up not only hurting the person, but as the word says, It grows to cause trouble in the community, defiling many. The link verse for this is Deuteronomy 29, verse 18, which says, I'm making this covenant with you, all right, this is God through Moses, so that no one among you, no man, woman, clan, or tribe will turn away from the Lord our God to worship these gods of other nations, so to revert back and return to idol worship, and so that no root among you bears bitter and poisonous fruit. We don't want that in our communities, and let alone individually. I think when I think of a bitter root, I can think of no better example than the medical condition of gangrene. You've heard of that, right? And it's a terrible condition. And it's a condition that has a root of infection that gets into underlying tissue, which requires intervention. According to the Cleveland Clinic, they said wet gangrene, type of gangrene, is the death of tissue. It involves a lack of blood flow along with bacterial infection, and it causes blisters that reveal or release a foul-smelling pus. It requires prompt medical care. In fact, gangrene is a medical emergency that certain tissues in the body are dying. Without prompt treatment, gangrene can be fatal. I kind of like to think of that image a bit like linked to bitterness. Because actually that's what bitterness can do. It can begin to destroy the inside of a person, but not just the inside, it can actually destroy community. Paul, in writing to the Ephesians, said, get rid of all bitterness. And that's the encouragement to us. Now remember, this is the verse we're looking at tonight. Without holiness, no one can see the Lord. Now I've mentioned the first two. The first one, help me remember the first one I just remembered, that I just shared, sorry. Be at peace with all people. And this next one, a bitter root can destroy life. I just want you to quickly talk with someone else. How does these two or one of them impact your own life? And I want you to just share that with someone. Is there room for you to grow in that particular thing? You've only got 30 seconds each, so make it quick. Let's go. All right. So whatever you shared in your groups is really going to be your application this week. All right. So try and hold on to that. Those two, and then I'm going to share the final two with you. So let's keep moving on, and thanks for interacting. Here's the third area with holiness. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Verse 16, stay pure. See that no one is sexually immoral. It's quite a softer approach than what Paul shares in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 18, where he actually calls to the church to run or to flee from sexual immorality. And Paul goes on to state in chapter 6 of 1 Corinthians, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. That's a challenge. It's a challenge in our media-saturated culture, but perhaps I could demonstrate it like this in terms of holiness. No, I'm going to demonstrate it later. But it's a challenge in our state and culture as it is now. We've got many images that come up on the phone. In fact, I will demonstrate it now. Because often we'll be scanning something, and without even looking, sometimes a subtle image will come across our screen. Boom. And that's the moment of decision. Flee from immorality means to go bang in those moments. And that's just an example as we think about that. Or the things that we might watch on the TV. Holiness absolutely matters, and I think especially so in this particular area of our character. To continue to be on guard day by day. 1 Thessalonians 4 says, God's will is for you to be holy, so stay away from all sexual sin. Then each of you will control his own body and live in holiness and honour. Let's do that. That's the goal. There's a great website, crossways.org, that actually give us four ways to fight sexual temptation. They use the idea of trying to put a choke on sexual temptation, trying to put a stop or a limit. And here's four areas they say. Pray to God, which is great. Flee right away. We've talked about those two. Call a friend. That's a courageous step, actually, to actually admit to someone, hey, I've got this challenge. They cite a great story here, Emily, who felt overwhelmed by this particular issue, and she was all alone in her house for the weekend, offered so many ways for her to sin. But rather than fight it alone, she called a sister from church. She explained how weak she felt and asked for help. Her friend told her to pack a bag, stay with her for the weekend. Emily agreed and, with her friend's help, avoided Satan's snare. That's a pretty courageous step right there, isn't it? Interesting, as I've journeyed with people over the years, I say, just ring me in the moment. And some people have, and they've been able to break it. Call a friend. And if it's a big issue, develop a long-term plan. If you need professional help, we can help you with that and guide you in the right place. So stay pure. That's number three. And finally, number four, control your desires for immediate gratification. This is from verse 16 and 17. See that no one is sexually immoral or is godless like Esau, who for a single meal sold his inheritance rights as the oldest son. Afterward, as you know, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected. Even though he sought the blessing with tears, he could not change what he had done. That's a story from Genesis 25 between Esau and Jacob, and we know the story where he opted for the gratification of a single meal and sold his most, which was pretty much his most sacred possession of the day, his birthright inheritance, and gave that up. And that not only affected him, but actually affected the generations to come for him. He epitomises three things, Esau does. Esau epitomises utter contempt for God's saving grace and blessing. Secondly, it was a stupid decision in the moment for him that cost him dearly. And thirdly, he squandered the most sacred gift he had to keep. Now remember, I spoke of before, the Jewish rulers were reverting to their old ways, which if they continued in that would actually show contempt for their salvation in Christ. And so the author's actually indirectly linking their actions with that of Esau by actually citing him. And he's calling them to continue in Christ, to continue being holy. And being holy means to stay holy. And holiness absolutely matters in every way. You know, the hardest thing for me in the years of ministry, 20 years, I think, or thereabouts, I have to say the hardest thing to see is when you see someone walking with Jesus to only give it up. That is really the hardest thing to take. And I really struggle with that. I remember there was a young guy by the name of, I'm just going to call him Fred for the sake of keeping him secret, so to speak. But Fred really loved the Lord. He was constantly serving in the church. We did Bible studies together. We encouraged him in his faith. And a few years on, he met a young lady who didn't know the Lord but began a relationship with her. And, you know, sometimes that actually works out just fine for people. And they're able to maintain their relationship with the Lord and keep going. But that wasn't the case for Fred. And Fred actually gradually began to move away from us, and he began to move away from the Lord. Inevitably, he lost his faith. And it was really sad. It was a tremendous heartache, to say the least. And we have not seen Fred since those days. And we constantly think about him and wish he would come back. This idea, without holiness, no one will see the Lord. This is an essential matter. But with holiness, we do see the Lord. Now, we have been made holy in Christ, but there's this idea that our continued holiness and moral holiness in these matters we actually begin to see more of the power, more of the grace of God in our daily lives and in others. So I want to say tonight, and I hope you can say amen to this, holiness absolutely matters. Oh, that was a good response. Thank you. It matters to Jesus. It matters to me. It matters to you. It matters to us. And you know what? It matters to the world out there. Absolutely does. And so tonight, we've done the first two out of the four areas. We did be at peace with all people. We got those there, Mark, I think, haven't we? And then the third and fourth ones, just back in your groups, what is God saying to you personally about staying pure and also those control of those desires for immediate gratification? Again, I can only give you about a minute each this time. All right? Go. Share. Okay. Thank you for sharing. Now, just remember, that's your application this week and also your prayer for one another as you've shared, and you can remember each other in prayer for these things this week. So tonight we're talking about holiness absolutely matters in every way. We're taking that message into this week together. And I am grateful the Lord has us on this journey to be holy as He is holy. And if we do sin or fall away from grace, we always have the opportunity to come back and repent and clean. And when we do, the verse in the positive says, with holiness we see the Lord. Now, I wanted to share this story before we sing a song together. Beautiful story of a hymn writer who loses the joy of salvation. His name is Robert Robertson, author of the hymn, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. I'm not sure if I've heard that one, but it's a pretty well-known hymn in the day. But Robert had lost the happy communion with the Saviour he'd once enjoyed. And in his declining years, he wandered into the byways of sin. As a result, he became deeply troubled in spirit, and hoping to relieve his mind, he decided to travel. In the course of his journeys, he became acquainted with a young woman on spiritual matters, and so she asked him what he thought of a hymn she had just been reading. To his astonishment, he found it to be none other than his own composition. He tried to evade her question, but she continued to press him for a response. And suddenly, he began to weep. And with tears streaming down his cheeks, he said, I am the man who wrote that hymn many years ago. I'd give anything to experience again the joy I knew then. She was greatly surprised by that. But she reassured him that the streams of mercy mentioned in his song still flowed. And Mr. Robinson was deeply touched. And he turned his wandering heart to the Lord, restoring fellowship with the Lord. How beautiful is that? I've just always said it's never too late to turn back to the Lord. It's never too late to make a decision to live a holy life. Even when we slip up, that we can live and decide to live a holy life by the strength and grace of Jesus.
We hope you enjoyed our latest episode. Tune in next week for another Life Streams Carawarra message. Have a blessed week.